just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Silly old ram thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes.
Come fly with me. Let's fly. Let's fly. Pack up. Let's fly away.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Gathering Offering. My name is Jerry Kirk, and I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. Today in pagan time is May 6, 2010. In the Lord's time, this is the 111th Jubilee, the third week, the fifth year, the third month, and the third day of the third month. This is also the 18th offering of a 26-week offering of this little adventure that I am trying to offer to individuals with eyes and ears. I hope that some of you all have been enjoying some of this, and I have been receiving a lot of feedback from a lot of very nice individuals. At the beginning of every one of these little adventures, I have a responsibility and a duty, so I shall begin. Our Father who art in heaven, I offer you praise and blessing. As I offer blessings and praise to your only begotten Son, the Christ. Father, today I want to tell you that I am amazed. And I thank you so absolutely much, very much. My pastures have white clover just blossoming out all over the place. The hop clover is starting to push up. And of course, it's a little early for the red clover. But spring is really here. It's warmed up, and my garden is starting to start producing and starting to grow. Father, I appreciate that, and I thank you for the way that you cycle things through. But Father, also I want to thank you for the individual, in particular two of them, that got a hold of me in the past week. And the first one I wanted to visit with you about, Father, and thank you about, is a man that when he came to this country, just one generation ago, his family was as poor as anybody can be when they come here. This man has shown initiative, Father. I have talked with this man on the phone a number of times, and I am aware of how when the course comes out, he downloads it, he reads it, he listens to the audios two and three times, and he studies, Father. But I was so astounded, Father, that last week, on Saturday, after going over your calendar, I received this man's offering of the way he put the calendar together. Now, number one, the first thing he did, Father, was he took my version of where, you know, I used my old handwriting and everything like that, and he made your 12-month calendar, what was put out, so nice and neat, and it fits on somebody's computer screen, and you don't have to look at my old crummy handwriting. So that was great. He went out there and did that. Very shortly, that and these other things, you know, we're going to get them posted up on the website. He also made up two other types of formulations or a way to look at the calendars, Father. Now, I had never, you know, there was all the information that's in there. I know that information, Father, but I never thought to put it out in that type of method. And Father, this man has come forward, and he's put in a lot of work. And for others to be able to look and see and understand this, and they're going to be made available to everybody, Father. And I just can't tell you how much I appreciate Son Sam. A man that came over here to this country, I mean, poorer than poor. And, Father, I appreciate that. I just can't tell you how much I thank you and praise you and bless you for having a man like that show initiative and to stand up. And then, Father, I want to thank you also for someone named Scarlett. And in week two, I spoke with Scarlett, and she had three other people in their class. They actually have a class, Father, that they're taking. And I'm going to read out, Father, so the other people can hear this. She's been studying the Bible and had been doing it for a long time. She did the entire Bible 10 times, and it set me free. I'm reading what she said. Then when I went to church, it became obvious that they weren't following Christ, but a recycled version of the Babylonian mystery religions of Nimrod, a.k.a. the Catholic Revenuers. Father, what a woman. It goes on. We live at the end of a dirt road and have 20 acres where we raise chickens and dairy goats and 2 children. My husband is a carpenter by trade, but has been out of work with the collapse of the building industry. So it's obvious, Father, that she and her husband are multimillionaires, and most likely everybody that's in her class are multimillionaires, Father. I can't tell you how blessed it is to hear people that write a short letter like this. These are the people in her class. And they get together once a week, and they read the material, they listen to the audios, they discuss it, and they read out of the book. Scarlett is the lady that is, you know, that wrote me the letter. David's her brother. Andrew's her brother. Mitch is her friend. Janet's a friend. Lauren's her friend. Kale, Janet's son. Deanna, a friend. Michelle, sister-in-law. Greg, Michelle's dad. Buddy, Mitch's friend. 10 individuals, Father. Father, it makes me jealous in a positive way. And so many other people that I talk to that we'd love to have 2 or 1 or 3 or 4 people, and they have 10. Lord, I praise you and bless you for those 10 individuals in that class. And, Father, I also praise and bless another man that called me about 2.5 weeks ago. And the man's a little bit elderly, in his late 70s, and he hasn't had anybody to study with. And he called me and he said, "Hey, Jerry, a couple weeks ago, the lady that's running the micro-broadcast station where I listen to you, she's taking the course now. I now have somebody to work with." Father, allow the individuals without someone to work with and study with to find somebody. Father, allow someone to come forward and find a way to connect these individuals that want to study your law and live and learn by your law, Father, even if one's in Georgia and one is in Tennessee or from Tennessee to Wyoming, it doesn't matter, Father. Allow these people to come together to have somebody to work together with, Father. And I understand, Father, that you're keeping us somewhat separated because we're kind of dummies and we'll group up and get all snatched at one time. But, Father, please, I beseech you, and I want to praise you and I bless you because your will be done. Allow these individuals that are so alone and so by themselves, and I've talked to so many of them, Father, and they would like to have somebody they can study with, Father. So, Father, I call upon you, and I ask you, and I say, Father, I'm not allowed to order you, but, Father, I want to say, it is now time. Please hear me, Father. Allow those that need 1 or 2 individuals to study together. Let them come together. And as always, Father, it'll be your will that is done and not mine. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't tell you how much it picks me up when I learn about the successes that individuals are having. And they are having. There are people having these successes. And I'm blessed to have a good number of people call me every week. People I've never talked to before in my life. And, you know, they say, "Oh, I didn't know this." And, "Oh, my," you know, and so they're kind of astounded that, you know, I'm not out there trying to be Mr. Popular. I'm just laying it out there. And they're getting something from it. All right. Thank you so much. Now, I do want to catch something. Last week when I was listening to the audio reviewing it, I made at least 2 errors. At one time when I was talking about the calendar, I said there were 344 days. I should have said 364. Hopefully that was obvious to somebody. Another time I mentioned, I said I was talking about the interior days of the feast, and I said 4 times 24. I should have said 4 times 6 equals 24. Hopefully people were able to understand that, but those were gross errors that my mouth, you know, spit them out. I'm responsible, but anyway, tried to catch up, say I'm sorry. All right. Now, today we're going to go into Chapter 5, which is entitled The World of Slavery and Voluntary Servitude. Did you volunteer? Are you not happy? We're going to go into Part C, and it's entitled Sincerely Believe, Thought Combined with Action. That's a question mark after that. So that's what we're going to try and work on today. Now, this is in essence about tribute. And over the decades and thousands of years of mankind, over and over and over, individuals, groups, nations, and even continents have risen up and said, we're throwing off the ruler that we have. We are no longer going to pay them taxes. We are not going to have them stepping on our necks and telling us what to do. And this has happened over and over and over. And the individuals that stand up, you know, a lot of times at the beginning, they're the guys that, you know, sometimes get their head chopped off first. Some of the guys that start at the beginning wind up, in some cases, becoming the new emperor or dictator. Various levels of success. But what causes this to happen? What causes everybody to have this itch after a while and say, hey, this isn't right? Well, there might be lots of answers that people would say. But I'll offer you the reason. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, the Christ. Matthew chapter 23, verse 10. People realize that they have one master, and they've got this other yin-yang that is forcing tribute to them. And they don't like it. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and Mammon. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. You should be starting to get an idea here. You can't serve the Father and man's government. It's corporate government. Now let's look at a definition here. Tribute. Now, if you can't understand that tribute is taxes, maybe you ought to go to some bebop music. Tribute, money paid regularly by one ruler or nation to another as acknowledgement of subjugation from protection, from invasion, etc. Now, did you notice how, actually, if you look at something in the dictionary, it goes from protection, from invasion, etc. It doesn't want to tell you all the other things of etc. are. They just go etc. Kind of interesting. But it's subjugation. The Lord's tribute. Numbers, chapter 31, verse 37, 38, 39. You can find the Lord's tribute on a regular basis. And you can find the requirement to pay tribute to the Lord, the Master, the Christ. Never in the Word of God does he ever say, pay tribute to some government. Never. And yet what happens to us? We start doing this. And then we have to go through these revolutions, some of them nonviolent, some of them violent, to stop doing it. Be it known now unto the king, then will they not pay tribute, toll, and custom. And so thou shalt endamage the revenue of the king. Ezra chapter 4, verse 13. So it becomes evident that some people are not going to pay the tribute, the toll, the taxes. I didn't say all people, because a lot of people go right along with it. Now, what happens to most people is they get scared. In 2010, in America, we have something called the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS. When you pay taxes or tribute to them, then protection is offered to the individual. This protection comes in the form of not taking the rest of what one has in possessions, land, money, liberty, and life. As long as the individual continues to pay increased taxes, as are yearly updated by the lords in Congress, this protection is extended. As long as the individual acknowledges the lordship of a false master, the earthly treasures are protected, while the heavenly treasures are lost. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19, 20, and 21. Wow. Could you actually, I want each of you all to go look that verse up at the end of this little adventure, and I want you to read it out loud to yourself. But where your treasure is, there your heart be also. Is that what the itch that you're trying to get scratched? Is that what you're trying to find out? What I was trying to find out. Thieves break through and steal. Could this be the IRS? I think so. Now, folks, this is a 20-page offering this week. I cannot read out every one of these things. You have to read it. You have to study. I'm going to try and hit some highlights. I'm going to read you a quote. If the law is not on your side, then confuse the issue or issues. Now, this is an often repeated quote of one of the former Arkansas Supreme Court Chief Justices here in Arkansas. And thousands of attorneys repeat this and do this in a courtroom. The law is not on your side, then confuse the issue. And I also mentioned that attorneys are also known as attorneys. You know, they capture you in a net. But they seem to be not able to be captured. You know, they capture other people, and they're barred from getting captured in the net. Don't think that's a good deal myself. However, I've said many times, the pen is mightier than the sword. They create a law, and then you haven't read the law, and then they turn around and bring in the sword and say, now you're going to do what the heck we tell you. He is entitled to carry on his private business in his own way. His power to contract is unlimited. Hale v. Hinkle, 201 U.S. 43 at 74-75. This is a U.S. Supreme Court case, quote. You've got the power to contract. Now, if you've got the power to contract, does that mean that you also have the power to de-contract? Yes, provided you take care of the obligations of your original contract. And that's what we're going to be talking about, contracts. A covenant, a binding and solemn agreement by two or more persons, parties, etc., people, etc., can mean people, the Father, the Christ, to do or to keep from doing some specific thing. A contract, a compact. A compact, to make an agreement, come with an agreement, a contract between parties, applied in a general sense to any covenant or contract between individuals, but more generally applied to agreements between nations and states as treaties and conventions. Wow, okay, treaty is a contract. So now let's think about something. Have we contracted? Did we ever contract? I did, and you did if you've got eyes and ears. You may not have been aware of your contract, though. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land where art thou art a stranger for an everlasting possession. Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generation. Genesis chapter 7, verse 8 and 9. You had a contract. I didn't learn about my contract till I was 42. I said, oh, my goodness, I got an absolute supreme contract. Whoops. That contract came out way before the IRS came out. Came out way before the United States Constitution. Now, let's see if the United States Constitution recognizes the fact that that contract, that covenant, came out a long time before the Constitution of the United States. Let's see if there's something in there. Do you remember anything in the United States Constitution that says in the Supremacy Clause, Article 6, Paragraph 2? And it says, and all treaties made or which shall be made. Now, let's take a minute on this. All treaties made. That's in the past tense. They were just now writing this Constitution. They were... All treaties made is in the past tense. They were recognizing past made treaties, contracts, compacts, covenants. They didn't want you to go back to Genesis chapter 17 and see that one. They wanted you to think about the Treaty of Paris. They wanted you to treat about the concession of England to Rome. They wanted you to think about the treaties that are going to be made. Oh, everybody's all worried about the United Nations. All worried about the one world government. All worried about that. They got you thinking about that, and you should be thinking about what you're supposed to have done in the past. All treaties made, right there in the Constitution, and I use that against them on a regular basis. And so far, I haven't had one taker to come up and say, get in my face and say they want to dance with me. Because I read, trying to get y'all to read all treaties made. And I'm belaboring this on purpose. You got to see what you ain't been doing. You ain't recognized you had a contract that you broke. You weren't allowed to break it. I broke it. I wasn't allowed to break it, but I broke it. But now, since I found out I broke it, I have the ability to go back and say, I am sorry, Father. I am sorry, the Christ. I am sorry, Lord. I'm going back to your contract. I want you to think about that. Real quickly before the break, I'm going to tell you when I was younger, I thought the IRS was fabulous. At 13, I worked an entire summer, and my dad said, well, since you worked an entire summer, you probably ought to act like an adult and fill out your income tax form. So I got called the Social Security Administration. I called the IRS. I got the form sent to me, applied for my own Social Security number, read all the material on the IRS, did the entire thing, got done, and I went to my dad, and I said, Dad, you knew I didn't owe any money, did you? And he smiled at me and says, yeah, but you learned something, didn't you, in the last couple of days, didn't you? And I said, yeah. I thought it was great. Within 6 months, I had two gas company credit cards. 14 years old, I'm charging gasoline. 50 cents, a dollar, $1.25 at a time. Gas was only 22 cents a gallon then. By the time I was 15, I had an American Express card and like a Diner's card or a club, carte blanche. There were men that made $20,000 a year didn't have an American Express card. I did at 15. By 16, I had arrived. I had a gold Playboy credit card. I was going to the Playboy Club at 16. Of course, I also acquired, by the time I was 16, an actual state of Florida driver's license. I just changed the date of, you know, when they said I was born. I was going to nightclubs when I was 16. Should have seen all the kids in class. I had arrived. I thought the computerized system was the greatest thing in the world. Never had a computer, but I sure know how to, apparently know how to work the credit system. I loved the IRS. It was fabulous. It gave me access to location. I made money by 18 when everybody else had to be 21 to, like, sell a car. At 18, I was selling cars and new cars. And everybody else that had graduated high school, they were lucky to make $65 a week when they were, you know, that summer. I'm making $400, sometimes $600 a week. I thought it was great. By 11, 12 o'clock, almost every single day, I was going home playing golf, playing tennis, swimming, getting ready to go out for the party that night by another young lady. But you see, I was into that materialistic world. I was in total confusion. But I thought the IRS was great. And when I had my very first business, at 23, and I was the owner. I went to H&R Block, and they filled out the income taxes, and they said I owed so much, and then I made my check out for $100 more than that amount. I sent it in. The IRS got told me, said, you send in $100 too much. Fill out this form so we can send you your $100 back, and I refused to do it. Every year for 3 years after that, I gave the IRS $100 extra too much. The IRS finally got down to the point of telling H&R Block, if you fill out his form again and do his work, we're going to yank your license to Daytona Beach, Florida. I thought it was great. I'd give him $100 extra and just having a good time with him. And what was $100 to make? But, you know, I figured, you know, one of the things I was saying, well, you know, if I made a $10 error, they're going to have a hard time coming back on me. But, you know, they had to do a lot of work on me. And, you know, I never, ever took my $400 back from them either. In 1992, I got a divorce, and my wife's attorney said, you know, jury didn't fill out and do any income taxes in 89, 90, and 91, and, you know, the IRS could come back on you and give you a hard time. So rather than fight it, I filled it all out, and I turned it in for them 3 years, and I said I didn't owe them anything. They came back, and they said, you owe $16. I said, well, show me where I made my error. I spent over $300 in long-distance calls, number of letters, all kinds of hours, and wearing them out, and they kept telling me I had to pay. And I said, well, great, I'll pay you as soon as you show me where I made my $16 error. I had more fun with that $300 or $400 in long distance calls, and hours on the phone with them, and writing letters, and they're sending me all kinds. I had a ball. I mean, I had more fun than a bunch of wet monkeys in a bag. It was a lot of fun. I had a man that I knew was a pretty wealthy developer, and the IRS came back and said he owed $2,500 more for 1 year. And this guy had good attorneys and CPAs. And he was all upset, and I said, why do you get upset? I said, their main office is in Jacksonville. I said, we'll go to your bank and get a bunch of money. We'll get $583, and we'll put it in a burlap sack, some dimes and quarters and dollars and fives and tens. We'll drag it around behind our truck while we drink a few beers. Then you take it up there once a month, you know, and take this dirty money out of the bag and spend an hour or two counting it out for them. And I said, you go up there on the weekend and rent a big motel room, you know, in a nice hotel and have a great weekend in Jacksonville. He did it. He came back and he said, I've never had so much fun in my life, Jerry. He says, you couldn't believe the look on their faces with all that dirty money and what countered out penny by penny, nickel by nickel, dollar by dollar. So sometimes you have to think a little bit out of the box. And he came back and he said, Jerry, it would have cost me a ton of money to fight this $2,500 extra. I said, yeah, you pay him the $2,500 and have a ball doing it. So sometimes there's another way to do things. And so I was in the system and having fun. But then I decided to come out of it. So at the end of the break, we're going to be talking about how to come out and some of the information you may not know. So thank you very much, and I'll talk to you after the break.
Problems just a toy balloon, they'll be bursting soon, they're just bound to go pop.
Oops, there goes another problem, kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem, kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem, kerplop.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite.
I just talked with one of these elite the other day, and he told me the latest of everything the elite have planned for the world for the next 2 years.
Shocking. This DVD, Tragedy, Hope, and Reality, the latest title by Lindsay Williams. Our production team at First Amendment Radio has condensed Lindsay's three DVD set down to a single DVD presentation.
So I'm going to tell you right now, up front, everything that I feel will impact your life in a major way in the next 24 months.
2.5 hours of the most important details of what the elite have planned for America and the world.
Within 2 years, he said, you will not recognize the United States of America.
Will you be ready?
And here is the part that startled me more about anything that he said. He said, war is planned. And he told me where it's going to be.
Will you even believe it?
Gasoline will remain the price it is right now until we have war. You're going to be paying $4 to $10 a gallon overnight.
First, you must see it. Two copies, one for you and one for you to give away when you send a support donation of $20 to First Amendment Radio. Use the chip-in event on our website or send $20 cash to First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. Make copies and give them away. A wise man sees trouble coming and prepares for it. Tragedy, hope, reality.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines, 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars, too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use, and then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide, starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near, you might even hear a whole gang of cheers just because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day. You just say those words and we'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe, come fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jerry Kirk. This is the Gathering Offering. This is the 18th of 26 weeks of an offering course. And this material is available at freedom-school.com. Go to the link to My Name, Jerry Kirk. I don't have a computer, and I do not endorse or disendorse anything that is on anybody's website, because I can't read it. But I suggest that you should go, if you're a new listener or just got in, you should go back to week one and do a catch-up. It's pretty hard to understand where we are right now walking in if you haven't been following along. Okay, so now I was in the system of the IRS, and I loved it. You know, I got to be a builder, developer, and, you know, shoot. I was paying one boatload less on a percentage basis than most everybody else because I had real good CPAs and I had a good tax attorney, and they, every year when I said, oh, I had to pay a little more, and I'd sit down with them and I'd say, what can we do next year to make sure I don't pay as much? We'd study the IRS and look at their codes and say, well, you can do this, and so next year I'd, you know, save $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. Well, why would I be paying my CPA, you know, $10,000 or $15,000 a year if he wasn't going to save me at least $10,000 or $15,000 every year? Think about it. Maybe you never had as much money to be able to hire a high-priced CPA. Well, eventually I did. And you know, they're really good. And the IRS, the rich people love the IRS. Because they're not paying very much taxes. Now, if they're not paying very much taxes and you're paying a whole bunch of taxes, percentage-wise, well, eventually he's got all the money. The rich. What does the Word of God say? The rich rule the poor. The rich rule the poor. Okay? But the IRS is not the way to go. And we're not supposed to get rich that way. So I broke my covenant with the Father. I sold out my birthright. And I was 6 weeks of years, in other words, 42 years old, when I learned of my treachery to the Lord. And I said, no more. I ain't going to do that no more. I don't care what. And I'm going to learn this and I'm going to study. And I did. In particular, we're going to have to go fast to get on some of this, but there's a section here on the 14th Amendment that I never hear anybody talk about, and I'm going to quote it out of the 14th Amendment, including debts incurred for payment of pensions and bounties for services in suppressing insurrection or rebellion shall not be questioned. The 14th Amendment authorizes public debt, and it says if persons don't pay it, they're in insurrection or they're in rebellion. I'm not a person. If you've been listening to this course, I learned that I'm not a person. I learned how to stop being a person. I'm a people. I'm not in rebellion. I am not in insurrection because I'm not a person. But if you're a person, you're in rebellion. You're in insurrection. And that's what the IRS is collecting money for. And they can collect all they want. They've got a clause called the grandfather clause. You can read your forms. You can pay everything you're supposed to think you're going to pay. But the grandfather clause says in any year that the federal government runs a deficit, they can come into any person and collect any amount of money at whim. This happens to people. And they say, what? And they find out their lawyer says, yeah, that's the grandfather clause. Okay, so you need to read the section here on the 14th Amendment and read about this insurrection business. Now, the borrower is servant to the lender. When you borrow privileges, gratuities, or services from the federal government, you are servant to them. You're their slave. The federal government is in compliance with the Father's law with respect to the 14th Amendment and Title IV, Sections 100 to 113. You take their money and your ass belongs to them. End of story. There ain't no more discussion about it. If you're a person and you take their privileges, gratuity, or service, you belong to them. You got to figure out and go back to these courses where I talk about the person and people and make your decision. Now, I'm going to go into some quotes and I'm going to go fast. I don't expect anybody to be able to, you know, write this down. This is why it's typed out for you to look. Sullivan v. United States, United States Court of Appeals, 1926. There can be no question that one files a return under oath as a witness in the meaning of the amendment, being the fourth, the fifth. Garner v. United States, U.S. Supreme Court, 1976. The information revealed in the preparation and filing of an income tax return is, for Fifth Amendment analysis, the testimony of a witness as that term is used herein. Okay. If you file a return, you have witnessed against yourself, and they can prosecute you. However, you have to voluntarily agree. If you do not agree, let's see if we got something for that. Flora v. United States. Our tax system is based upon voluntary assessment and payment, not upon restraint. Restraint's like sticking a gun up to your head. Grabbing your bank account. What? Grabbing your house. If you volunteer to assess and pay, and you're in the tax system, but it's based upon voluntarism, not restraint. Think about that. This is a real important one. United States v. Dickerson. Only the rare taxpayer would be likely to know that he could refuse to produce his records to the IRS. That's an exact quote out of the Seventh Federal Judicial Circuit, Court of Appeals. Types out there for you to read and look it up. the rare tax, but, you know, they trick you. The court's saying you're a taxpayer. Well, wait a minute. To be called a taxpayer, there has to be a judicial determination. So they want you to think you're a taxpayer or a tax protester and just assume that term, and even the court wants to trick you there. I'm not a taxpayer and I'm not a tax protester because there's never been a judicial ruling saying I'm a taxpayer. Have you been to court and has some judge said you're a taxpayer, yet you're sitting around saying, well, I'm a taxpayer, how do I not pay taxes? You just admitted you're a taxpayer when you admit it. You volunteered. Yikes. Now, here's a real important one. Sherrar versus Cullen. Now, this is about a guy that worked for the IRS, and he refused to give his record to the IRS. The IRS fired him. He's an IRS agent. He goes to court. IRS says, sorry, you can't force even your own agents to give you them your records. Give him his job back, give him all his back pay. Unbelievable case, ladies and gentlemen, right there for you. Malloway versus Hogan. Again, U.S. Supreme Court case. A person has the right to remain silent unless he chooses to speak in unfettered exercise of his own will and to suffer no penalty for such silence. This quote is found in the Sherrar case. It's unbelievable if you don't read and study this stuff, folks. Now, you don't have to give them your stuff, but if you give them some, you got to give it all to them. You give them nothing, and you say, I ain't giving it to you. No, that doesn't work. You got to say, I'm not giving you anything because the Fifth Amendment says that I don't have to be a witness against myself, and you quote these cases after that. But if you just say, I ain't giving you nothing, that doesn't work. You got to quote some cases. You got to communicate to them. Helbering v. Davis. Moving on to something called Social Security. And this is from a government witness in testimony, 1937. Social Security contributions are true taxes, the purpose simply being to raise revenue. No compliance with any scheme or federal regulation is involved. The proceeds are paid unrestricted into the Treasury as internal revenue collections, available for the general support of government, that the appropriations were wholly independent appropriations. This quote is given in the Flora case that I just talked to you about. You see how they start stacking them on top of each other? You got to read this stuff. Social Security is voted on every year. When you accept Social Security, you're in the military budget. You are under military jurisdiction. There is no requirement to have a Social Security number. Quote, Social Security is a voluntary system in that no one is required to get a number. Quote from the Department of Health and Human Services. Social Security Act, January 10th, 1990, by Penny Clayton, claims representative for DHHS. Further quote from Penny. The Internal Revenue Service uses Social Security numbers as taxpayer identification numbers. How about that? You know, that's how they make you pay taxes. You got a Social Security number, they make you pay taxes. Get rid of your Social Security number, you don't have to pay taxes. They can't figure out where to put the money. Kind of simple. Another quote, we do not have the authority to require any employer to provide or deny employment or services to anyone who refuses to disclose his or her number. This is a matter between the individual and the employer. Doris R. Hardy, Commissioner, Social Security, Baltimore, Maryland, July 16, 1986. Okay, folks, you got to understand, you're going to have to read a lot of this stuff here. One of the cute ones is, our legal right to ask for information is Internal Revenue Code Section 6001, 6011, 6012A, and their regulations. IRS Notice 609, entitled Privacy Act Notice. Our legal right to ask for information is this section. Great, they got a legal right to ask. I got a legal right to say, no, I ain't answering. So do you. You got a legal right to ask. It doesn't say that there's a legal right to require me to provide. Everybody says, oh, well, I heard that word legal. I better do what they ask. Somebody asked me something. I said, well, maybe I'll do what you want, or no, I won't do what you want. A statute must be contained within itself. It's a maximum law which is held true in all courts. and this is very important. I don't think you'll hear this on any other expose of the IRS ever. When you're charged with not having a driver's license, you walk into the courtroom, they tell you statute so-and-so, and it says in there you got to have a driver's license if you happen to be in a motor vehicle. That's what you're charged with. You need to go look at the IRS code. And if you don't do this, you're not going to get anything about this course. See how many times the word see also occurs. In section after section after section, they tell you, see also these other sections. And you go to those other sections and they say, see also this. And the sections that don't say see also, there's other sections that were said for that said see also to go back and see the ones that don't say see also. 5099 IRRC, as of May 1st, 1989, section 7806A, where word see also is of no legal effect. The entire code is of no legal effect because the whole damn thing says see also. You volunteered to be a ding-dong. You've been allowed to be scared into something. And they don't teach you any law in high school or college because they want you to be dumbed down. Think about it. The statute doesn't even say what it's supposed to say in that statute. You've got to go to another one and another one and another one. You're not going to get that. I don't believe you're not going to find that in any other expose on the IRS. Now, I could be wrong, and I hope somebody finds it somewhere else and says, yeah, I found that. Here's a quote. It is only necessary to plead foreign law, not to prove it. Wallace versus Mrs. Smith Pie Company, 261 Arkansas 622. I'm under the father's jurisdiction, ladies and gentlemen. I plead his jurisdiction. And guess what? I don't even have to prove it, but I will prove it. And you've got that same power. You can go to your state. You can use that Arkansas Supreme Court case. You can go into U.S. Supreme Court cases and learn about how to do this stuff. Now, there are paperwork you're going to see here is how I've gotten rid of my Social Security number. Got into it with the way it was supposed to be done. And I got out of it the way it's supposed to be done. And I got my actual paperwork how I did it. I want to read you a quote again. Our federal tax system is, in short, utterly impossible, utterly unjust, and completely counterproductive. The present system of taxation reeks with injustice and is fundamentally un-American. It has earned a rebellion, and it's time rebels. Wow, pretty strong quote. Anybody else hear that quote? Came out of the mouth of President Ronald Reagan in Williamsburg, Virginia, May 1983. They didn't put that on C-SPAN. They didn't play that on NBC and CBS, did they? They didn't play him standing up and let you look at his face when he was saying them words, did you? Nope, they sure as hell didn't. The President of the United States can tell you that it's completely unjust, completely impossible. How are you supposed to understand? I've included six pages in here from a federal court transcript. I didn't want anybody to think I'm making anything up. You can find in this federal court transcript an IRS agent for 18 years. The six prior to the testimony, she worked in their criminal department. You will see unequivocally in the federal court transcript of something called a decoding manual. It is also called the law enforcement manual on other pages. It is also known as document 6209. So decoding manual, what for? It's the decoding manual for all of the law enforcement data that the IRS uses. Remember these guys running around a few years ago and they, you know, cracking the code, selling a book about cracking the code? Bunch of money. Guy eventually got indicted and, you know, he's appealing it. There was all kinds of radio shows telling you about cracking the code.
Did he tell you anything about document 6209? Document 6209 will tell you if you had a hemorrhoid operation. It'll tell you everything about you. It'll tell you that MFRO1 on your individual master file says the file requirement for 01 is return not required to be mailed or filed. How much clearer do you have to get it? How much simpler than what I'm offering you? You have a duty and an obligation to serve your master, the Christ, and not Mammon. There is no more time to keep on talking about it. Each of you are, in my opinion, required to read this and get on the radio to every single radio station and every single host and talk to them about it and say the time for talk is over. These are federal court transcripts. You don't have to do this. We are required to tear down the Canaanite idols. We are required to burn their groves. That means come out of Babylon. It doesn't mean keep talking about it. It doesn't mean keep on thinking about it. I sincerely believe that I'm not required to pay the IRS. There's a court case in that, you know, this expose of this week that says if you sincerely believe you don't have to pay, you don't have to pay. I don't just sincerely believe. I sincerely know what my master's going to do to me if I keep paying. He's going to kill me. He's going to kill you. We're not talking about fun and games here. We're talking about life and death. I have allegiance to the Father in heaven and His only begotten Son, the Christ. That's it. Nothing comes before them. Not my life, not my children, not my friends, none of it, nobody. You, anybody. They are my allegiance. That's the first thing I'm required to do, is do what they say. And if I don't do it, they're going to kill me. They're going to do the same damn thing to you. I am here to offer something to you. I am here to offer to you life and death. I am here to offer you a way to come out. I've got the paperwork. They haven't wanted to talk to me since 1992. Because of my history, I related to you in this verbal. And because they say, I'm pretty sure they know I know all this stuff. And I, you know, golly, I think I know a little more than what I put out on this thing. And I just took the best of some of the best and, you know, put it out there. And there's, you know, I could have done another 30 or 40 pages. And we are hoping that possibly there's going to be somebody that's considering doing the Lloyd Long case where I got the quote right out of the transcript, so not required to mail or file. It's about 4 inches thick. Take a boatload of time to scan it, put it up on a website, and to maintain that website. And you can read about how much it cost to buy this transcript back in 94. You can, you know, right now today, I'm understanding this transcript would cost about $20,000 to buy it. Well, and I'm willing to give it out to for free. But you got to read it. You got to learn how Lloyd Long did this. Lloyd Long and 3 other men decided to learn the IRS, and he went in front of a jury, and he was found not guilty. And you'll learn exactly how to do it. And we're going to try to do something like that. I can't promise it, but in the meantime, I've given you some paperwork. I've given you some pages to look at. It's up to you. Time for talk is over. Time for buying another book, debating. That's over. Now, next week, ladies and gentlemen, if I have ever done anything significant in my life, if I've done anything significant, that is coming out next week. And I am going to offer to you my answer to what people call real estate taxes. And it ain't my answer. It's just that I found the Lord's answer to it. And if I've done anything significant, I'm not saying it's significant. But so far, I'm damn proud of what I did. And, you know, I will continue on that subject and other subjects to my last drop and to my last breath. And I have the commitment, and there ain't a single individual that knows me or even listens to me has any doubt about my commitment. You need to grab some of my commitment. You need to get committed. We can do this. But you can't just sit around talking about it, talking about it. Get off the toilet. Let's get out there and start doing something. Quit running our mouths and let's become individuals of action. Nonviolent. Take away their money. Take away their power. Take away their fear. And they dissolve. I don't have fear of them. I have fear of the Lord. If you don't get anything else out of this offering gathering course, get that. Fear of the Lord is it. To hell with popularity. To hell with money. The Lord is who we lay up our heavenly treasures with. That is how we get into the suffering. That is how we get in eternal blessings and an eternal job. And that is what I offer. You've got the method. You've got the understanding. Find your gut. Strap a 2x6 in the back of your belt and along your back and strap another strap under your arms and straighten up and fly right. The time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Got 8 more courses coming up, and I think a couple of them are going to be silly. And I know 1 or 2 of them are going to make an awful lot of people mad at me. And even a lot of people who are listening right now are going to be upset with some of them. But I don't care. I am here to lay it out the way I've learned it, the way I've done it. And I try my absolute best to follow the Father's law, and that's my inspiration. Blessings to all those with eyes and ears. Blessings to those that are opening their eyes and ears. And the Lord will provide the strength, but you have to do something. You can't be in the Church of Lacedonia a fence sitter. I would work that you were hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Get out of the seventh church, ladies and gentlemen, and become action-orientated. Thank you so absolutely very much for listening. Study this. Don't just read it. Study it. Get it. Have a great day. See you next week.
Your horses to rush would be a crime. 'Cause nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it every time. Like the man says one more time. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy.